Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. I want to remind you, coming up in the next hour, right after this one, Mary Hessler Key. Now, you may remember her as Mary Hessler when she was on the show before, but since she was on the show last time, she got married. And now her name is Mary Hessler Key. She's still beautiful. She's still smart. She's still in Florida, and she is going to be talking to us in the next hour about how to have a vision, about having vision in your business, and how to, and also we're going to talk about being proactive instead of reactive in your business. And so stay tuned for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. But right now, buckle your seatbelts, because our resident CPA, Doug Stives, is with us. Doug is the partner with Kirchen & Company, who manages the tax department at that CPA firm, which is the largest CPA firm in central New Jersey, out of beautiful downtown Red Bank, New Jersey. Doug, welcome to the show.
Good morning. And in a beautiful downtown Red Bank, it's cold this morning.
It is. Well, it's good to have you back, Doug.
Well, nice to be with you.
You got, and I really appreciate the time you give us. Folks, as you know, if you know any CPAs, you know that right now their life is not their own. And so it really means a lot to me, and it should mean a lot to you, that Doug would take the time to spend with you and me and to talk about things that are important to our small business, which in this case, I think you've got what you got on your mind, Doug, is one of the things you got on your mind are some of the mistakes that small business owners make on their tax returns.
Well, I don't know if we want to call them mistakes, but I think what we want to try to do this morning is to make people aware of what they should be thinking about. If they're doing their own tax returns, I'm sure they're missing some deductions, so to speak, or making some brutal mistakes to go there.
If they're doing their own tax return, I have one question. Why?
Okay, I agree with you.
The AICPA thanks me, right?
yes, well, your check's in the mail.
Yeah.
just to go there for another 30 seconds with you, Jim, is, you know, I get asked all the time is, when should you use a CPA? And mm-hmm. I think categorically this morning, if you have your own business, don't skimp on doing your own tax return. Think with me for a minute. In most cases, most people, the biggest single expenditure that they encounter in the course of a year is their federal income tax. You know, if you're making $10,000, you don't have any tax, forget it. But if you're making $75,000, $100,000, or a couple of $100,000, there's nothing you spend during the year that exceeds your federal income tax. And it's amazing. People will sit and play with their computers or their own set of forms, and, you know, they're spending $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 in tax, but they won't spend $1,000 to hire a CPA to do the return and make sure they're doing it right.
Well, you know, and the thing is, though, Doug, and folks, this is not a show to promote CPAs necessarily.
It isn't. I'm going back to work.
Doug has never done that, and I'm not doing it either. I'm talking about your peace of mind. I'm talking about your success and your ability to defend your return. You know, whenever I get my return back, now I did my own taxes years ago, but when I started my own business, I quit doing that. When I look at my return, when it comes back, and I see all the different forms that they have filled out for me, credit and that deduction and the way it's laid out, I don't even want to know how to do all that.
Well, I'll go a step further.
It really doesn't have anything to do with whether I'm making money or not. I don't want the headache.
I agree. But time is money, and I will set you straight here too, is that if your situation is simple, we've taken a number of people over the years and said, look, here are the forms you need, here's what you need to do. I can save you several hundred dollars. You can take this home, do it yourself.
Yeah.
And or, you know, run it by me when it's done. And I plead with everybody out there, if you're going to do that, you're going to have a CPA look at your return, please get it to them in the next couple of days. Don't bring it to them on the 12th of April. That just simply isn't fair.
You know, Doug, I have probably four returns to file in my, counting my personal file, my personal return. And we do our own books here at the office. All right. Our accountant only does the year-end return.
Right.
And it cost me about $500 to $600 a year to get all that done, and that's all. And it's worth every penny of it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not trying to promote the CPA profession, although I don't mind doing that at all. It's just that people who, I think you hit it on the head, Doug, when you said when you talked about time is money. I mean, that's not what I know how to do. I know how to do other things, and I promise you, I can make more than it costs me for my return in doing something else instead of spending that same time doing my own tax returns.
Well, yeah, but I also recognize there are people listening to us right now that they've started their business and you know, it's not absorbing their full time. They're not making as much money as they would like. They say, look, I can find the time to do the tax return. That's okay, but still I would challenge you that in not all cases, but in a vast majority of those cases, they're missing deductions, or worse yet, they're doing something that's going to set themselves up to be audited. You know, they're just doing something
right.
Stupid.
I'd like to propose an exercise. Do your own return yourself, because, I mean, maybe you're a whole lot smarter than me than I am. You probably are a whole lot smarter than me, and you're probably, you know, able to do this. But do your own tax return, and then take the same information to the CPA. This is just an exercise to do, and see what they come up with.
Oh, I do that all the time, Jim. I'd say probably 20% of my clients now do their own tax return on TurboTax or one of the, you know, PC-friendly
right.
pieces of software. They bring it into me, and what I do is I sit there like a school teacher and mark this thing up, and then we run it through our software.
Right.
It saves them money. It saves me time because this thing is laid out on the official IRS form, and, you know, we use it as a worksheet. So, you know, people that are computer literate and have the time, I strongly encourage that, and then bring it in and have their CPA go through it.
And I'll tell you another thing. I want somebody else's signature on my return. I want your signature on my return, Doug, because I don't know. I've got this little superstitious thing that I think that's going to make me a little. And I know you guys say that this is not true, but I think it's going to make me a little less likely to be audited if your signature's on there instead of just mine.
I won't say that it reduces your probability of being audited if it's the same return. I mean, if you've made a mistake, you've got something in backwards or whatever, then I agree with you.
Yep.
But we'll talk about it when we come back.
Yeah, we've got a lot more things to talk about, folks. If you've got any questions about your tax return, about your tax situation in your business, or your personal situation, 888-822-8255. Got one of the experts with us right now, and he's ready to talk to you. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, we are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Doug Stives, the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show. He is a member of our Brain Trust. And I've got some trivia questions for you if you want to give us a call and check on them. And answer one of them, I will send you a copy of Bob Sullivan's book, The Small Business Startup Guide. It's a great book. And here they are. On this day, these are birthdays. I want you to tell me what these two gentlemen did. Clement Studebaker. I want you to tell me what he did for a living. And what does this guy do for a living? What did he do for a living? Wally Schirra. Also, Liza Minnelli's birthday is today. I want you to tell me who her mother was. And also, James Taylor, Sweet Baby James, was born on this day, 1948. Call me and tell me the name of one of the songs that he made popular. 888-822-8255. That's also the number to use if you would like to ask us a question about your tax situation, because we have one of the experts with us right now, and our expert, Doug Stives. And Doug, you said something a minute ago while we were off the air that I want you to repeat. I made the bold statement that I wanted to see a CPA signature on my tax return, and even though you said that I admitted that was a little bit of a superstition, but you said that, and you didn't, you know, you said that that would not keep you from getting an audit, but if you are in fact audited, tell the rest of the story.
Well, here's what happens. If you're one of my clients, we sign your tax return, and for whatever reason, just bad luck or bad timing, your return gets selected for audit. The IRS will tell you it's done primarily by a computer process, which is a half-truth, but that's okay. Return then shows up at your local IRS office for audit. And here's where I make my point, is most of these local offices are relatively small. You know, if they have 10 auditors, that's a good-sized office. And believe me, those people know the local CPAs. The minute they pick up that return, the first thing they look at is, who did this return? I had a situation about 10 years ago. I had a client come in who had been using an older and now completely retired non-CPA, just a local tax preparer.
Mm-hmm.
He then changed over to our firm. We were doing his returns. One of his prior years bounced. They actually called me from the local IRS office when they found out I was involved. They said, Doug, you're going to represent this guy? I said, that's right. But you didn't do the return that we're auditing. I said, that's right. I said, we highly recommend that you amend this return even before you come in, because the guy that did it, we just have no faith in whatsoever. You know, they were giving me a pretty mm-hmm. good tip there.
Yeah, a good heads up.
And in talking to them a little bit off the record, they said to me, you know, this guy, anything he does, we make sure we audit it.
Huh. Well, you know, and that happened to me before, not exactly the same way, but I have been audited, and the CPA went with me to the office, and we worked it out, and it actually worked out, you know, to be in my favor. But it really was awfully helpful, and it sure did grease the wheels to have my CPA there. And one other thing I want to point out here, Doug, is these IRS people that you deal with, they don't beam them in from New York or Washington or somewhere, you know, in the morning and beam them out again at night. These people live in your community.
They usually beam them in from Mars, I think.
Yeah. If you don't personally know an IRS representative, employee, then it's just a matter of time. I mean, they're on the soccer fields, they're scout masters. You know, they go to church, they do a lot of other things. I mean, I have several friends who work for the IRS in my area.
Well, let me follow up with something you just said. When you got audited, you went with your CPA to the tax exam?
I ultimately went there with them.
You went the first time without you?
Yes.
Okay, that's normal. I was a little bit horrified that you went with them the first time.
No, ultimately I went one time.
Okay, as my MO is just that, is I'd never take the client the first time. Let's get down there and find out what it is they know and what they're looking for.
That's exactly right.
The other thing, and you'll particularly enjoy this comment, as much as I like to talk and run off at the mouth all the time, Jim, when I go to the IRS, I sit quietly.
That's right. Yeah, you don't offer anything that they don't ask you, right?
No, sir.
Okay, let's get back. I want to talk about the IRS a little bit later, but before we do that, let's get back into what we can do to minimize or to maximize our deductions and to minimize our heartache in filing our returns.
I'd like to shoot first at the small business people out there. The thing that I get the most number of questions about is retirement plan.
Yeah.
And are we going off to a break?
Yeah,
here?
That's our music.
Okay,
hang on. It comes up too quick. It's 29 after, folks. Please give us a call if you have a question. If you're scratching your head over something on your tax return, all you got to do is call 888-822-8255. Doug will be glad to answer it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255, and our guest is our good friend Doug Stives, the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show and the tax partner at Kirchen & Company out of Red Bank, New Jersey. Doug, you were telling us, we were talking about business returns, and you had some tips for us.
Yeah, where we were talking about is, I think the largest topic of conversation with our small business owners is whether or not they're going to do a retirement plan, or if they have one, and how much they're going to put in it this year. Before we go any further, though, Jim, I want to remind everyone that if you have a corporation that operates on a calendar year, which is what most corporations do, and if you have an S corporation, by definition, you're operating on a calendar year.
Yes.
There's some very rare exceptions to what I'm saying, but keep going. Is March 15th, the Ides of March, only, 3 days away?
That's right. That's Monday.
Is the due date for your 1998 corporate tax return. And if you have a retirement plan, something like a pension or a profit-sharing plan in your corporation, not only do you need to file your tax return or file an extension on Monday, but you also need to fund or put the contributions for 1998 into that plan prior to the filing of your federal tax return.
Even if we extend it, If we ask for an extension, which we will get, right? Even corporations are automatic the first time.
Absolutely.
Even if you get an extension, you still have till you file that return within that extended period to fund that retirement plan.
Now we're talking corporate plans, and that's correct, Jim.
Right.
If you have, just for example, 2 days ago I met with one of my doctor clients. He operates his practice in a corporate form, professional corporation.
Mm-hmm.
We never file his corporate tax returns in March. He came in. We figured out what we're going to probably put into his pension plan for last year.
Right.
But we're not going to do it until later in the year because his cash flow is a little tight and he's not sure that he really can afford to do the contribution to the
mm-hmm.
maximum. So the first thing we did is put an extension in. He's already extended, and it's a six-month extension. And as you mentioned, it's an automatic extension. You don't need a reason. You don't need approval. You just fill out a form 7004, send it in.
And you probably do that for them, don't you?
Yes, right.
All they do is call and say, I need an extension.
That's right.
Yeah.
We sign it for them.
That's another pretty nifty reason to have a CPA, folks, because this March 15th just races up on you.
It does. Races up on us, too. But
yeah.
The point is you file that extension by Monday, postmarked by Monday. No need to use certified mail or anything fancy. Just dump it in the mail. And you also then get an automatic six-month extension to put the money in your retirement plan for last year.
Doug, you're talking about postmarking it by Monday. That reminded me of the joke where the lady walks into the post office at like 11:30 at night on April 15th, and they're still open because they're taking mail, you know. And she says, "Is it too late to get my return in?" And the guy at the post office says, "No." And she says, "Oh, great. Where are the forms?" Hey, Doug, let's stop for a second and take a call. Who we got, James?
We have Robbie calling from Virginia.
Robbie. Hi, Robbie.
Yes.
How you doing?
Very good, Jim.
Good.
Good morning to you, Doug.
Good morning.
Listen, I just want to let you know, Jim, I love your program.
Thank you.
I listen to your program every single day from home to work, and it's always a source of motivation.
Thank you.
I have a question for Doug. I have a small business. I wouldn't say quite a small business, but more of an independent contract. I have a full-time job. I'm an engineer. And I have a small electronics repair business on the side. And a lot of times when I have to get supplies from sources, they will not sell it to me. They require me to fill out a form that says, you know, we must have a completed tax exemption certificate on file. What is that, and how can I get one?
Okay, you're talking sales tax at this point, Robbie.
Okay.
And understand, before we tell you how to get a tax exemption certificate, that if you are the end user of what you're buying, in other words, if you're buying, you know, wire and electronic components or whatever, and you're using these to repair people's equipment, then you are the end user. That product gets gobbled up in your work, so to speak, so you do need to pay sales tax on it.
Okay.
If you're buying equipment for resale, you know, you're buying things to put on the shelf and to resell to your customers, then you need a resale certificate. And how you get that is you need to apply in your state. I think you said you're in Virginia. You need to apply to the Virginia Department of Taxation in Richmond.
Actually, I work out of Maryland.
Yeah. Maryland. Okay. Well, then you need to talk to the good people in Annapolis.
Okay.
And get an application to file for a sales tax registration. And that does two things, Robbie. It requires you to then, of course, collect sales tax from your customers. If you repair a piece of equipment for me and send me a bill for $100, you need to add on whatever your Maryland sales tax is. What are you, 6%, I think, down there? And then you need to remit that to the state of Maryland on usually a monthly or at least a quarterly basis.
Gotcha.
And your sales tax registration authorizes you to act as an agent of the state to be an official sales tax collection entity. And then the same registration, the same number, the same form, allows you to turn around to vendors and say, look, I'm going to buy this stuff from you folks and I'm going to resell it. And that will exempt you from paying sales tax when you first buy the materials that you're going to resell.
Gotcha.
Does that help, Robbie?
Pardon?
Does that help?
Oh, definitely does.
Great.
A quick question.
Hey, Robbie, can you hang on? We got to take a break.
You bet.
Can you stay with us? Okay, I've got a question for you when we come back. Doug, stand by. Folks, it's 39 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Doug Stives, resident CPA on the Small Business Advocate Show, and we're still talking to our caller, Robbie, in Maryland. Stay with us, please. Back, it's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Doug Stives is our special guest. He's the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show. And our very patient caller, Robbie from Maryland, is with us. And Robbie, I think you had another question for us. Robbie, are you there? James, did we lose Robbie?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay, Robbie, good. You had another question.
Yes. Doug, I was wondering if your company can assist me in filing my taxes, and if so, what number should I call?
Okay. I'm in New Jersey, but we do a lot of correspondent work. I'd be delighted to talk to you. Be in my office later today, and the number is 732-747-0500.
Okay, that's 732-747-0500.
Yes.
And Doug,
good. Listen, I just want to thank you guys very much for a fantastic program, and I know there are lots of listeners out there. They may not call all the time, but we're listening.
Thank you, Robbie. I really appreciate that, and I hope you don't mind. Doug, don't forget my commission on that.
It's in the mail.
Hey, Robbie, here's one thing I wanted to point out, if you can hang on another second.
Okay.
I wanted to point something out about this tax ID number, the state tax ID number. That is a very good thing to have because, as Doug said, if you're not the consumer of the product that's being taxed, then you need to pass that tax along to the – you need to charge taxes of the person who is consuming that, your customer. And if it goes even further, you know, they'll pass it on through to their ultimate customer. But what I want you to remember is if you collect the tax, and which therefore means you don't have to pay it yourself, you then have the obligation to file a state tax sales tax return every month.
Gotcha.
So that's, don't forget that. I mean, that all comes with it because ultimately somebody has to pay that tax. And the bad news when you're the consumer is you have to pay the tax. But the good news is you don't want, when you pay the tax, you're through.
Right.
The good news for you is when you pass it through is that you don't have to pay it. But the bad news is you have to file the return.
Right. In my operation, it's such a small business that it really doesn't. It wouldn't be worth for me to go through all that trouble. I would much rather pay the retail taxes.
And you know what?
However, some of the companies will not sell to you unless you have that number.
Exactly. No, you're exactly right, and that's a good point for you to make, Robbie. Thank you for doing that. But there's one other thing, and you brought this up, Robbie. Some people are so small, and Doug, I know you see this, small companies, that they do actually collect sales tax, but they do it so infrequently that they forget to file their return, their sales tax return, don't they, Doug?
And the penalty's worse than the tax.
That's right. It's awful. And I would rather deal with the IRS as the state revenue department when they're calling you about sales tax.
Right.
I don't know if you agree with me, Doug, or not. But
I do. When the sales tax people show up, you're going to lose. They always find something.
They walk in. Listen, they walk in, and you are guilty at that moment. And I've got some horror stories that I could tell about that. I'm not going to go into it. But and there's one other thing, Robbie, that I wanted to point out, and you help us make this point, Doug, and I know you've seen this. Sometimes small business owners get a tax ID number, and they don't have to pay taxes on something that legitimately they shouldn't pay taxes, and they get the idea without realizing it. I mean, they don't realize what they're doing. The next time they buy something, if somebody says, "Do you have a tax ID number?" and they're actually the consumer of that product, they'll give them their tax ID number, thinking that that's a way of getting out of the tax. And it's not, is it, Doug?
Well, it's a way to get out of it temporarily, but it's also the fastest way I know to have the state sales tax people show up in your office.
So be careful about that, Robbie. And I've seen good people. They weren't trying to cheat anybody. They just didn't understand. The thing to remember is what Doug said at the beginning, and that is who consumes the product.
Right.
That's the key.
I'll disagree with one thing Jim said. I know people who do it intentionally to absolutely avoid the sales tax.
Well, okay, all right. I was trying to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but you're right, Doug.
You're too nice in the morning.
I know it. Robbie, what else can we do for you?
That's pretty much it. And again, thank you very much for a fantastic show.
Thank you, Robbie. You're a good man. Keep listening. And don't forget, you're my hero.
Thank you much.
Okay, Robbie. See ya. All right. Robbie helps us make some good points, and I really appreciate that. That's you know, I just shudder when I go to, I like to go to antique auctions. Doug, whenever I do, I'm checking out with I'm getting my tickets together, you know, to pay for what I'm buying, and they ask me if I have a tax ID number. Well, I'm not an antique agent. I'm an antique consumer. I own them. I don't resell them, and so I don't give them my tax ID number. But I see people that I know. They're in front of me, and I know them, and I know they're just like me, and they give this tax ID number. I shudder when I think about it, when I see that.
Yeah, I know there are people listening this morning and say, yeah, I've never been caught. Well, you know, if you're going 75 on the highway and the speed limit's 65, if you get caught, you're going to pay a fine.
Well, here's the other thing that I want to point out to people. If you mess up on your return, which we have done before, by the way, and we've had situations when we didn't mess up, but they thought we did. Either way, they treated us the same, which was not too good. And I'd hate to think how they would treat us if they believed that we had tried to not pay sales tax intentionally.
Well, we could do a whole morning on horror shows with sales tax, people that were absolutely innocently not following the rules, and never anybody put out of business, but I've had people that had to borrow money to pay off the sales tax.
Yeah, and the penalty wound up being more than the tax.
Yes, it's something you need to go with. You got to respect the system, and you got to work within it and not try to beat it.
Right. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're visiting with our good friend Doug Stives, CPA, the resident CPA of the Small Business Advocate Show. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being with us. I want to remind you that... I want to remind you that Mary Hessler Key is going to be with us in the next hour. We're going to be talking about vision in your small business. Mary Hessler Key, she's been with us before. She's a member of our Brain Trust, and she's going to be with us to talk about how to be proactive in your business, how to have vision in your business. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up. Doug Stives is our special guest this hour. He's our good buddy and has been with us several times before and is very, very generous with his time. And if you know how busy CPAs are this time of year, you can appreciate the fact that Doug is here with us right now. Doug, let's wrap it up. What else we got on our list?
Well, what I thought I'd leave people with this morning is on their personal return. I mean, if you're a businessman, you still have to file a personal income tax return. Some things that are new in 1998 for your 1998 returns that we're filing right now, they're due 34 days from today, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Are the education credits and the deduction for student loan interest. I've had a tremendous amount of confusion among my clients in this area. And just to cover them real quickly, if you have a child, son or daughter, who is a first or second year college student, or was a first or second year college student during 1998, if your adjusted gross income is below $100,000, if you're filing jointly with a spouse, you most likely qualify for what's known as the HOPE scholarship credit.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, these credits are not just for your sons or daughters, they're also for the taxpayer or the taxpayer's spouse. I did a return earlier this week for a young couple. He's in law school and she's going to school for something artistic. They spent thousands of dollars in tuition and they wind up getting a $1,500 credit.
Credit.
Credit, not a deduction.
Folks, credit translates to money in your pocket.
That reduces your tax dollar for dollar, $1,500.
Yep.
And you do not have to itemize your deductions. Even if you're using standard deduction, you can qualify for these credits.
Mm-hmm.
There's a second credit called the Lifetime Learning Credit that is not as restrictive. It can be for any type of post-secondary school education. Somebody in your family going to beautician school or modeling school or even an older middle-aged or older senior citizen type person going back to study computers or something.
Mm-hmm.
You take 20% of your tuition up to $1,000 for the Lifetime Learning Credit.
And that's a deduction. Or is that a credit?
No, that's a credit.
That's a credit.
Yep, that's a credit.
All
too.
Right.
And we don't have time to go into the details. You're only allowed, you know, certain credits with certain levels of income, but to make people aware they're out there. And then also, for the first time in 13 years, you're now able to deduct student loan interest if you're paying a college loan off.
Yeah, I saw that.
If you're in the first 5 years of the payouts, even if you graduated 3 or 4 years ago, or your son or daughter did, and you're making payments on that loan, for 1998, you can deduct $1,000. Now we're talking deductions, Jim, not credit.
This is a deduction, not a credit.
To $1,000 of student loan interest. The only problem there, the only negative, is that's fairly restrictive on a single return. If your income is over $40,000, earn a joint return over $60,000, the student loan deduction starts to phase itself out. So for high-income folks, it's not going to do them any good.
And it's only for the 98 interest.
Interest that you paid in 98, that's correct.
Right.
Now, the deduction goes on. For this year, it goes up, I think it goes to $1,200 this year. But there's a tremendous amount of confusion. People are missing it. If somebody's already filed a return and missed it, you have 3 years to amend your return and go back and get it.
Right. Hey, Doug, thank you very much. You did great this hour. I really appreciate it, and looking forward to having you back. We'll get you back on in a couple of weeks if you can work it out for us.
Love to do it.
Thank you, Doug. You did great. But we appreciate it. Bye-bye. All right, folks, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. We remind you that Mary Hessler Key is going to be back with us and coming up in the next hour. Before I go, I want to thank the most important members of the show, my heroes, small business owners like Robbie in Maryland, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, be guilty today of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.